Off the Ball. GAA.
I think that I wouldn't be writing anything in stone yet. You know, I wouldn't be proclaiming that we have a 2010 here. I wouldn't be proclaiming we're on the brink of a 5 in a row either. But I think it's a very enjoyable era of Gaelic football that we're in as teams try and figure themselves out.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome back to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. Now, Word in the Street with Susanna Mullen, Rachel Sheehan and Eve Conway are out every single week. Episodes of the podcast are available for free, so check it out on Spotify or wherever you get your Off the Ball podcasts. Now, there's this really interesting story going with Irish rugby at the moment. The IRFU are basically running combines to identify talent when it comes to women who aren't necessarily in the rugby sphere in order to sort of broaden the playing pool and to ultimately strengthen the national teams and maybe other teams around Ireland as well. So they bring them into the combine, they run through certain drills, they put them through their paces. And two of the people who were put through their paces recently when they were at a combine at St. Pat's and Drumcondra were Rachel Sheehan and Susanna Mullen. Susanna, how did that go?
It was good, actually. We only did a few of the exercises, so we weren't put through the whole day like the 20 other athletes who were there. But I was tired enough after the few gym exercises.
What were you doing?
We did, I'm going to get it wrong here, and we have audio from a better professional to detail us through what we did. But what I did was a med ball throw, I believe it's called.
Okay.
Now, I don't gym a huge amount. But what was interesting was a lot of the athletes who were there actually didn't gym a huge amount either. So the exercises were specifically designed to test basically not how strong they were in terms of how much they could lift, but what kind of strength, underlying strength they had, and how the IRFU kind of professionals would be able to turn that into something they could use in rugby. So one of the exercises I did specifically was a med ball throw where you sit on the floor and you basically hold this giant exercise ball and you throw it as far as you can. And we had a tracker on our wrist to measure our basically watts. So like the output of how hard you could throw it. And then we did one on a plate, which was how high you could jump. And I would say I was better than Rachel in the med ball throw, but she might have been able to jump higher than me, which I reckon is the GAA background.
Okay, so talk to us in general then about what the day looked like outside of that.
Yeah, so basically this was one of four combines. So they started in Munster in the University of Limerick on March 24th. Then we had the one in Leinster and DCU that we were at on March 26th. And then they were going to Ulster on April 14th. And then Connacht in the Dexcom on April 15th, which was interesting. That was just before Ireland played Italy in the Women's Six Nations in the Dexcom Stadium. So I'd say for a lot of the girls going to that, I'd say that was played into of kind of look where you could be this Saturday kind of thing. That could be you in a couple of years. Because basically on March 2nd, this email went out, and it was on the IRFU social media and on the IRFU website, and it was inviting athletes to apply. And it was really interesting that it said straight out, and I'm quoting here, for those with the right attributes, the pathway could lead all the way to representing Ireland on the world stage, including the Rugby Sevens at the LA 2028 Olympic Games or the Rugby World Cup in 2029. And then they also said, importantly, rugby currently stands as the only full-time professional team sport for women in Ireland. So they were really kind of dangling this carrot of, look at the opportunities rugby could give you. This isn't something you're potentially getting in your other sports, no matter what level you're playing at. And we were chatting to a few of the athletes who came on the day, and that was definitely something they were looking at. One girl, I remember, she said, I want to go to the Olympics. And we were like, wow, so that's something that's really brought you here. And she was like, yeah, my granddad went to the Olympics. I see this as a potential path. So that was really interesting from the get-go. And then basically they had hundreds of applicants and they narrowed it down to around 20 for each province. They came in and they did a number of exercises in the gym and then a number of exercises out on the pitch. And I actually have audio here from Orla Kern, who is the head of the athletic performance for the Women's Sevens and the Pathways, detailing kind of what they put them through on the day.
Yeah, they'll come in and we'll do some upper body power and we'll do lower body power. So the upper body power is with a med ball throw, lower body power on the counter movement jump, and then we're doing a 10-5 test. So that's pogo jumps for us to see like how quickly they can get off the ground, which helps us kind of translate to speed. We're not testing strength just because it can take quite a long time to get through those tests, and we essentially just want to see how they can translate the strength that they have. Rather than looking for who's the strongest, it's actually their ability to work with what they already have, and then we can hopefully make them stronger and make them more powerful.
How do you know that will transition to potentially being a good rugby player in the future?
We don't, so that's why we're going onto the pitch.
Okay.
That's just to give us an idea of what their athletic ability is like. And then we go outside, we'll go onto the pitch, and that's where we'll go through some speed work. We have a change of direction drill, and then we're going to move into a tracking drill, which gives us an idea again of how they manage their feet and how they're able to manage a player in defence or manipulate a player when they're in attack. And then we move into a drill where they have to hit, so carry a ball into hit shield or run up and hit a hit shield. And again, that's just giving us an idea of what they're like in that close quarters contact scenario. Like, are they gritty enough to actually go and hit the pad? And then we go into a passing game. So it's just an evasion game, 2v2. They can pass it any direction. It's mainly to see, can they use their eyes to see space, move into it, avoid any interceptions, or if they don't have the ball, can they manipulate to intercept a ball or to defend against the opposite team being able to pass? So there's nothing that's very, very rugby specific. It's a lot of just, can we see how they move on a pitch, how athletic they are, are they able to manipulate themselves and their teammates when we're working together, or can they like apply themselves in all of the drills, really.
So did you get the opportunity to go out on the pitch as well?
I did go out on the pitch, but they were doing their drills at the same time as we were out there. So the only thing we did was a speed run through like a group of sensors that's meant to tell you how fast you run. Now, they weren't working when we ran through them, which was probably for the best, to be completely honest.
What would have happened if you and Rachel actually completely killed this? Yeah, dominated. Like, would you just give up your job off the ball immediately and just live the professional life? Or what?
I mean, Rachel did say that, and people will see that in the YouTube video that goes out tomorrow. She said, I'm getting a contract with the IRFU. Bye-bye off the ball, so. No, but I don't think we were anywhere near the level they were looking for, not going to lie. I think I'll stick to the day job.
Yeah. So you were speaking to a few other people here as well. The first person we're going to hear from here is James Topping. So what were you talking to him about?
Yeah, so James Topping is the national talent ID, and he's the head coach of the women's sevens. And people might know him as he was the head coach of the men's sevens before it was cut. So he has kind of a lot of experience in going across other sports in both the men's and women's game and trying to find athletes that might fit into rugby. So we have some audio here from him of kind of what he was looking for on the day and how easy it is to spot someone who might be a good rugby player. Can you tell immediately when you see someone if they're going to be a good fit?
You can't, I think. You know, I've sort of, in the past, I've picked some guys out from the men's game when I worked there, just watching them play football sometimes, just to see how they move about and move their head on what it's about. It's important, I think, we do a small bit of physical stuff with them. That's going to be a big tell. It's a tackle and a carry, and that's going to tell if they have the aggressive side, and you can see they want to carry. But yeah, you can sort of hopefully tell in the small bit. I think, you know, we're going to have it videoed and look at it everything again afterwards to see, so we can judge that there. But you can't tell. You give them a go, but then we'll have to judge their skills sort of at a later date. So it's a bit of pressure on our sort of athletic department today to sort of front up as well and pick players, not just the rugby department, you know. And but I think that's important, because I think that's the way the game will go, our physical side to it.
We've seen a lot of girls already transition from other sports into rugby and back again. Mm-hmm. The ones who were successful, what kind of made them stand out in being able to do that transition seamlessly?
I think they were very good sports people, in the fact, you know, they looked for space, you know, they maybe were able to appreciate who was around them, what the scenario was each time, instead of being quite blinkered. So I think that's why quite a few girls that come into the sevens program were from Gaelic background, because they were able to look about, look for space, look for that side of it. So there is that there, but then we've had girls come from athletics as well, which is very much a straight line sport, and be able to push into it. So I suppose the point is, like, it doesn't, there's a position for you in rugby no matter what you do, but at the end of the day, we need girls who are probably aggressive, ready for contact, ready to take people on and be competitive, and then that's the sort of marker we'll be looking for today.
So you mentioned there people with Gaelic Games backgrounds, people with athletics backgrounds. Mm. How do they feel about the IRFU coming in there and stomping on their territory?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we'll hear from James again in a second on his viewpoint of this. And he was very much like, no, we haven't seen any backlash, nothing like that. But he did let slip off the record, let's say, that They had been in Limerick.
off the recording device.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, background.
That they had been in Limerick a couple of days before, and there was a number of Camogie players. And when he said their names, and I won't repeat them here, Rachel, who I was with, who would work a lot in the LGFA and kind of that world, her face dropped. She was like outraged that they were even thinking of leaving Camogie. And they didn't want themselves videoed or pictured or anything on the day because they were actually fearful of the backlash that they would get. But it was interesting that a lot of them apparently said that they kind of would have loved the chance to go and play AFL in Australia, as we've seen from obviously a lot of Gaelic footballers over the past couple of years, both male and female. But that wasn't really available for them. So they were seeing this transfer to rugby as a potential opportunity to do that, but then on home soil.
Yeah, because this is a conversation that often happens when Ireland lose their every 4 year men's quarterfinal in the World Cup. Like, how do you make Irish rugby better? How do you tap into what the likes of England and France and New Zealand have? And one of the conclusions that has always reached, and I'm sure it's going to be the same thing at the end of the World Cup in 2027, is that Ireland needs to be tapping more into its Gaelic footballers and hurlers, the big men who play GAA. There doesn't seem to be any crossover in that Venn diagram with rugby and with the national team. So I don't know. I think this is probably smart behaviour, and we've spoken about it so much in the show that the cross-pollination of sports is good for young people. And when you get to adult level and you decide that a professional life is what you're going to specialise in, then good for you if you're lucky enough to be in that position. So I would suspect that the backlash wouldn't be overly strong because most people would understand that.
Because Rachel was very adamant, and you'll hear it in a second. She asks James this straight up, but that the kind of people moving to the AFL in Australia has been very, it was like great at the start and people loved it, but then now they're really looking at it as a, I don't want to say brain drain because that's the wrong word, but a talent drain on the GA. And she was worried that this would do a similar thing, that people would find opportunities in the rugby, especially because it is potentially paid. You can get a contract, you can play for Ireland.
Well, can I ask you a question? So, if we look at that talent drain from Ireland to Australia, which is undoubtedly true, for me, a big reason why that's an issue for fans is that you just lose touch with these unbelievable sports people. So if David Clifford was to leave Gaelic football and get poached by the AFL right now, everybody would be devastated. But if David Clifford got poached by the Irish national team and was lining out in midfield for the Irish rugby team in the Six Nations, this is never going to happen, by the way, I think that people would have a different view of that. Like, people who support their GAA county would also support their rugby and their football and their athletics country. I just think the AFL thing, there's such a disconnect between our sporting culture and the AFL or the AFLW. And I think that for me is the real sickener for a lot of people here, is that we just have no relationship with our sports people who go to Australia.
Maybe as a fan, it wouldn't be too bad, but do you think the Kerry managers and the GAA as an organisation would love it?
Don't get me wrong, I would also be fuming. I mean, it's I would be fuming on behalf of the Kerry GAA team, but it would soften the blow compared to seeing him play for St Kilda or whatever.
Maybe. I don't know. It's actually a good point because we have, we might skip the James audio because we kind of chatted about what he said here, but we had Audrey O'Flynn, who she was a transfer athlete herself. She had 120 caps for Ireland hockey, and then she switched over to sevens in 2014. And it was really interesting, we'll hear now from her, to hear her perspective on why she made the change and how angry Hockey Ireland were at her.
Why were you looking for the change at the time?
I don't know. I think I just got to a stage where I was kind of not sick of everything, but I just felt everything had gotten quite stale, and I was just looking for something different to do. And this opportunity came up then, and yeah, I decided to go for it.
You can really put yourself in the shoes of people who are come here today that are maybe sick of their sport and have played at the high level and want to make a move then.
Yeah, and it wasn't, I suppose sick of, I'm saying sick of the sport. It's probably just looking, you know, having done something for so long and then looking for a change to do something different. I definitely know what it feels like.
You were saying there off Mike, that Irish hockey maybe weren't too thrilled with your decision to leave?
No, they weren't. They weren't happy at all.
Would you have advice then for any of the girls now who might be
thinking, obviously it's very early stages, but if in a couple of months they had to leave their sport?
And like, it's not like immediate decisions they have to make, as in, like, they can try out the game of rugby for as long as they want. Like, we won't be putting pressure on them to say, no, you have to cut ties with the sport that you're playing with. Ideally, it's kind of, they could do it hand in hand, and we'd monitor what their load is, and, you know, but no, they wouldn't have to make decisions like immediately. It's longer term that they'd be looking at that.
Really interesting stuff. So as a final point, Susanna, what's the next step for the people who were there at St. Pat's? We know what yourself and Rachel's fate is. You're stuck
being broadcast. Well, we don't know that for yet. We're waiting on our email.
You're waiting on you'll hear from us. You'll hear from us. Just keep checking your phone. It looks like your broadcast journalism career is not going to be under any immediate danger, let's say. But for, say, some of the more fortunate people, what's the crack there?
Yeah, so basically four were definitely selected from the Limerick trial, and then we were obviously there in Dublin on the day, so we hadn't heard yet, but there was a couple who were really impressive, and especially actually a Brazilian jiu-jitsu athlete. She was incredible, really strong, and exactly what they were looking for. But anyway, so the idea was that they might move into the sevens, because obviously the women's setup is still in existence, but it's no longer part of that top level seven series. So it's become, James was saying, it's going to become more of a sort of a development pathway. So that would be the perfect place for girls like this to come in who might have impressed, but let's see what they can actually do with a ball in their hand. There's also not as many rules in sevens, he said. So it's easier for them to come into a space like that and learn the game rather than maybe go into a 15s club where you're suddenly faced with a million rules and you don't know what to do with the breakdown and all these kind of things. But he also said that if someone really stood out, that there was an opportunity now around the kind of Six Nations to come in and train with the extended squad. So maybe whilst the top 23 are away, they could come in, have an idea, get to play with some of the girls. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think we'll hear of anybody until, you know, maybe in a couple of months, maybe on the seventh circuit, someone might pop up and we'll think, oh, she potentially came from one of those combines. But it'll be really interesting to see if there's any big names who cross over from maybe athletics. There was somebody there who had set a national record at underage level in athletics. Obviously a bunch of GAA camogie players. So it'll be interesting to see if any big names cross over.
Brilliant. Great work. So the YouTube video is going to be available tomorrow.
Yes, on the Off the Ball platforms and free.
Nice.
If anybody wants to take a look at that.
Susanna Mullen, commiserations on your rugby career. But thank you very much for that great work. We'll take a quick break.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland. A proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.